envelopes out of the pew in front of you and use that to put your notes on if you don't have something you can write on. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to just make a list of as many married couples you can think of in the Bible, okay? Old Testament, New Testament. In fact, for most of us, we tend to come up with more from the Old Testament than the New Testament. But just quickly jot down as many married couples as come to mind. Just write them down, and then we'll kind of run through some and see what ideas we have. One more minute, so just as many as you can think of. I won't ask you for your grades. It's not a contest, no winners, no losers. There it is. That really was only a minute. I was watching that clock, and I thought, man, I wonder if it died. It seemed like a lot longer than that. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to be bold a little bit, and maybe if you would just give a name of a couple you're thinking of. We'll just have people kind of spout those off. So, Lou, Ananias and Sapphira, okay? Some more. Just shout them out. Priscilla and Aquila. Abraham and Sarah. Adam and Eve, Jacob, okay, and Rachel, and Leah, yes, Joseph and Mary, Hosea and Gomer, Hannah and Elkanah. Yeah, I had written down Peter and his mother-in-law's daughter, because we're told that Peter had a mother-in-law, so he must have been married to her daughter, okay? Yep, others. Okay, Job and his wife, right, pleasant lady. Yeah, okay, very good. Ruth and Boaz, yes. Okay, Jacob and Ahab. Elizabeth and Zacharias. David and Bathsheba, and David and Michael, and David and Abigail, and David and some others as well, right? All right, well, you guys did really well. Let me see here. Lot and Lot's wife, another one of those people more ignominious. Heber and Jael. I don't know if Samson and Delilah were ever actually married. I don't think they were. Esther and Ahasuerus, Xerxes. Here's one that most people wouldn't immediately come to mind. Felix and Drusilla, mentioned in the book of Acts. Let's see. I think Uriah and Bathsheba before it was David and Bathsheba. Ahab and Jezebel. There's a real power couple for you. All right. So anyway, a lot of different couples that I named. And I'm going to have you turn to Romans chapter 16, please. Romans 16, if you need a Bible, it should be a black hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find Romans 16 on page 1603. And we are continuing in our study of unsung heroes. And tonight we're going to give our attention to a husband and wife who are, frankly, my favorite married couple in the Bible. And I think Mrs. Sherwin maybe mentioned them. Somebody did one of the first ones mentioned Aquila and Priscilla. Now, I'm not trying to take anything away from any other couples that are mentioned in the Bible, but in my opinion, you know, Priscilla and Aquila really put the hero in unsung heroes, okay? I think you'll see that all night long, beginning with the text I've asked you to turn to. Here at the end of Romans, Paul is doing as he often does. He's sending greetings to dear people that he has labored with in the past. And a lot of times he'll do that. He'll either mention people are with him, and so they send their greetings, or he'll mention people that are at the destination where he's writing to, and he'll send his greetings to them. And so that's what he's doing here in Romans chapter 16. And in verse 3, he says this, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom, because of that sacrifice, not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that meets in their house." So really, Aquila and Priscilla are a unique example given to us in the Holy Scriptures of a devoted couple faithfully and fervently serving the Lord together. So tonight I want us to consider their lives and ministry, and I think you'll find that they provide a striking example of devoted Christian living in every sense of the word, and devoted Christian living as a husband and wife, devotion to each other as a couple, and devotion to the Lord's service. Now, these two individuals, Aquila and Priscilla, are mentioned exactly 6 times in the New Testament. And by the time we're done tonight, we will have looked at all 6 of those texts. Okay, so we read one already. We'll come back to that one a little bit more later. But for now, let me have you turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. You see somewhere here I'll have a page number. I forgot to write it down. In the Pew Bibles, Acts 18 is on page 1561. And in Acts 18 here, Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned 3 different times. So 3 of the 6 times we read about them is right here in the book of Acts chapter 18. So let's read these texts together. The first one is verses 1 through 3. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he, Paul, was of the same craft, the same work as Aquila and Priscilla, he abode with them and wrought." They labored there together. "For by their occupation, they were tent makers." Let's skip down to verse 18 of Acts 18. It says, "And Paul, after this, tarried in Corinth yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence unto Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila." Verse 19, "And he came to Ephesus, and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. But I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus." And skip down just a few more verses to verse 26. It says, "And he," that's talking about Apollos, "he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren were exhorting the disciples to receive him, whom, when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ." Let's have a word of prayer here before we go any further. Father, we are thankful for the example of these various unsung heroes that we find in the Bible, people that are mentioned, that we know something about, And often in just a very brief economy of words, you show us people that are worthy of emulation, people to be appreciated for their stand, people who give us just such a godly example of those who want to serve and minister in the name of Christ. So we ask, Father, that as we read about and study about this couple tonight, that it would be a challenge to us and an encouragement to us, a help to us, that we might, like them, be people devoted to our marriages, for those of us who are married, devoted to the Word of God, and devoted to ministering in whatever capacity you give opportunity. So we ask for your blessing as we spend this time together in your Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I want to make three main observations regarding the devotion that we see in the lives of Aquila and Priscilla. And we'll look at the first two very briefly and then expand quite a bit on the third one. And the first is this. Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to each other. Now, our first introduction to these two individuals is in Acts 18, verse 2, where it says, Aquila with his wife Priscilla. And as you read through all the various references to them, Scripture gives us the impression that they were virtually inseparable. In all six passages, their names are always mentioned together. Sometimes Aquila's name first, sometimes Priscilla's name first, but they are always mentioned together, never separately, and everything that's described about them is described about the two of them doing it together and then serving together. Always, always together. Never is one of them mentioned without the other. Acts 18.3 tells us that they worked together as tent makers. Now, some of you might think that a couple working together would create some maybe unnecessary tension in their marriage. You say, you know, it might be best not to work at the same company in the same place, but that wasn't a problem for Priscilla and Aquila. They were devoted to each other. There is no mention of their having children. It may be that they were childless. It may be that they were older, their children were older. It may be that God in his providence just chose not to make mention of children. But we know this for sure, their marriage was certainly a priority in their lives. This is a picture of husband and wife harmoniously serving God together to the very end. Tradition tells us that they were both beheaded together for their faith. Aquila must have been a man who truly loved his wife, cared for her, understood her, effectively led their home, and sought to see his wife grow spiritually. Priscilla was obviously a helper meet for him, well-suited to him, a perfect complement to him. Priscilla was Aquila's devoted companion and supportive completer. So this was a husband and wife who were devoted to each other. Then second, Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to God's Word. That passage that we read there at the end of Acts 18, verses 26 through 28, where we read about Apollos. So here you have this couple, no indication that, Aquila was a man in the ministry per se, in the formal ministry in that respect, but these were certainly faithful people, godly people, and knowledgeable people of the Word of God. Because they were able to discuss the Word of God with Apollos. And Apollos is described for us as a man who was highly learned in the Old Testament. Acts 18.24 says that he was mighty in the Scriptures. That means he knew the Word of God in those days, right? They didn't have all the recorded New Testament, but he knew what the Old Testament said. And Aquila and Priscilla could discern from his preaching that he didn't fully understand how Jesus had fulfilled all of those Old Testament prophecies and things like that. So we are told that they showed him from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. So here comes this man steeped in a lifetime of studying the Old Testament, a man who was eloquent, considered a great orator, a man who had a history of preaching the Word of God with authority, with accuracy, with passion. And he comes and they go to him and you know, it's Apollos. We appreciate your heart, and we appreciate what you know about the Word of God, but you know, there's something that maybe you haven't come to realize yet. Maybe you've not even been introduced to this truth, but you know that Messiah that you've been preaching about? That's Jesus. And then they explain it. It was kind of like when Jesus took those two on the road to Emmaus and said, beginning at Moses, he showed to them all the things in the Scripture concerning himself. Well, they showed the past. Here's what it says, and here's how Jesus is the fulfillment of those things. And Apollos goes on as a result of their ministry to him, and he now preaches the gospel with power and with authority and with passion, making a difference in the lives of many. He's greatly influenced by the teaching and by the instruction of Aquila and Priscilla. One of the things that I value and appreciate is people who sit in preaching and come to me afterwards and say, you know, Pastor, you said this. Now, I didn't quite follow what you're saying. Or, Pastor, did you think about this? This says this. How do you reconcile that? Well, you know, I frankly love that. And these are people who aren't coming to throw stones. These are people who are coming who want to talk about the Word of God and have an interest in the Word of God and want to understand better and want to make sure that I understand well what God says in His Word. And that's the kind of people that Priscilla and Aquila evidently were. And God used that. God used them to make a difference. And, you know, by their lifestyle, obviously, these weren't just like Bible knowledge nerds, right? You know, these were people who were not only hearers of the Word of God, but doers of the Word of God. Not only studiers of the Word of God, but doers of the Word of God, as James 1:22 says. Okay, so Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to each other. They were devoted to the Word of God. And then thirdly, Aquila and Priscilla were devoted to ministry. And this is really the most striking thing that we see when you put together all those various passages about their lives. And I want us to spend some time looking at their faithful service to God. And again, they're always together. And let me just say that in my experience at least, nothing will draw a husband and wife closer together than wholeheartedly serving God together with equal complementary commitment, with matched priorities, with equal heart, hand in hand, serving God as their priority in life together. So let's look at the example of Priscilla and Aquila. Their service to God was marked by a number of things. One of them, one characteristic, would be single-mindedness. As I mentioned, Aquila was apparently not a pastor, but these folks were certainly dedicated servants of God whose lives focused not so much on their vocational work of tent making, though they did it as they needed to put bread on the table, so to speak, but their focus very clearly was on whatever was needed in the work of the ministry. That was their priority. That was what, you know, got them up in the morning, as they say. It's what kept them going, was a heart for serving God. Their service was also marked by hospitality. And I'm using the word hospitality to mean this. They used their home for ministry. And that's really a good way of defining hospitality. I mean, certainly it's receiving people and being friendly to people. Well, but when the Bible talks about hospitality, it's not just talking about being the magnificent host and hostess who serve the biggest spread and who have the most comfortable environments and who have fun activities. When it talks about hospitality, it's talking about people who used their home for ministry. Acts 18:3 says that Paul abode with them. You know, he lived with them. He stayed with them. Many of you house missionaries when they come through, right? And when we look for people to do that sometimes, special speakers, different situations. And if you are interested in doing that, love to have you do that. You know, just let Rachel know that, hey, if you have somebody, I'd love to have somebody come and stay with me. And I promise you, it'll be a blessing. You know, before my wife and I, before the Lord called us into ministry, we were in a small church, and we had enough space. We were able to house people frequently. So most of the time when missionaries came along, they stayed with us, and that was profoundly influential to us as young Christians. You know, just rubbing shoulders and talking and praying and learning from people who were giving their lives to ministry. And I think that's something that the Lord used really to prompt us to want to consider going into full-time ministry. And so that hospitality is a sacrifice. It is service, but there are great benefits to it. And so Paul abode with them. Now, maybe they worked together also. Maybe it started out as kind of a business arrangement. I don't know what exactly brought them together, but Paul stayed with them, and they obviously became dear, dear friends and fellow laborers. Acts 18:26 tells us that Apollos was taken unto them. So I don't know if they invited him in for a meal or two. Perhaps he lived with them for a time like Paul did. We don't know. But he was taken in unto them, Acts 18:26 says. Their home was used as a church meeting place, both in Ephesus and in Rome. 1 Corinthians 16:19 says, "The churches of Asia salute you." Okay, this is Paul speaking. "Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord." They had been in Corinth, so everybody there knew him. And he says, "And with the church that is in their house." So he says, all the folks that gather together and meet in the church that's held in the home of Aquila and Priscilla, they greet you as well. Romans 16:3-5. Well, we'll just look at verses 3 and 5. Verse 3 says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." Verse 5, "Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So now they're in Rome, and he's writing to them in Rome. So when they were in Ephesus, they had a church that met in their house. When they were in Rome, they had a church that met in their house. Here's a couple who used their home for ministry. Their service to God was characterized by single-mindedness, by hospitality, but also by an unselfish commitment to God's work and loyalty to the Apostle Paul. And Aquila and Priscilla faithfully ministered to and alongside Paul, and they did so when even he was apparently intimidated by the persecution. Okay. Well, let me read you two verses. You can turn there if you want. Maybe you're still in Acts 18, but this is verses 9 and 10. And then we'll read verses 1 through 3, and we'll read a little bit in around 20, and then towards the end of the chapter. So in the midst of all that, here's the section that's talking about Aquila and Priscilla there in Corinth, ministering with the Apostle Paul. And verses 9 and 10 describe a situation or outlook of Paul himself. It says, "I spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And so I mention that, so here's Paul. I mean, if you have in mind somebody who seems like he was the epitome of fearlessness, right? A guy who just never backed down, who had been through so much and just kept going, right? I mean, the perfect picture of a godly, courageous, you know, dependent on God, but willing to go forward for God, Christian man, it's Paul. But, you know, even Paul was afraid sometimes. And there were things in Corinth that intimidated him. There were people there that intimidated him. And where's he living? He's living with Aquila and Priscilla. You know, and Paul is the target of persecution in those days. And they're just hanging out with him and associated with him. And so here they are. We're just committed to supporting Paul and serving Paul and being involved in God's work, even when there's persecution at the door, so to speak. They were content to be helpers under Paul's leadership. So now let me have you turn again to Romans 16. It's page 1603. Romans 16, verses there are 3 through 5. We read this at the outset. And then we read verse 3 and a little bit of verse 5 again. But I want us to look at it once more and focus in particular on verses 3 and 4. So Romans 16:3, Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila," and he doesn't just move on to the next name, but he describes them as my helpers in Christ Jesus. So they were content to be helpers, eager to be helpers under Paul's leadership. And they were willing to give their own lives to save Paul's life. Verse 4 says, "Who have for my life laid down their own necks." And unto them, unto them, not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now that expression, "laid down their own necks," if you take the original expression literally, the idea is that they have submitted their own necks to the knife. That's the idea. Laid down their necks, they put their knife down to have their heads cut off if that's what it took. And apparently God spared them and the Apostle Paul, but Paul, somehow or other, Aquila and Priscilla did something daring, brave, bold, we don't know, but it resulted in Paul's life being spared, and God thankfully spared their lives as well. They uprooted their household at the Apostle's direction. Acts 18:18 says that Paul took them with him when he left Corinth. So he met them in Corinth. They come there from Rome. And then Paul decides, you know, the Lord would have him leave and head back towards Asia Minor. And he takes Aquila and Priscilla with him, and they go with him. And verse 19 tells us that they traveled to Ephesus, and then Paul left them there. while he continued on to Jerusalem. So Paul says, hey, Aquila and Priscilla, we need to go to Ephesus. Would you come with me? Sure, they come with me. They get to Ephesus. Paul says, you know, now I'm going to continue on to Jerusalem. You stay here. You know, it's kind of like, you brought me home, now you're leaving. You know, but this was the kind of people these were. If Paul said, this is where I need you to be, that's where he was, where they were. If Paul says, I need you to take care of this, that's what they would do. And they would do so with a loyalty to the Word of God, a loyalty to God himself, and a loyalty to the Apostle Paul as one with whom they ministered. And they even adopted Paul's kind of itinerant lifestyle. If you trace through the various accounts about Aquila and Priscilla chronologically, you see how much they moved around. So let me show you this. The record of Acts 18 tells us directly where they were at various times. We know that they started out in Rome. Acts 18.2 tells us that. And then, really, Acts 18.2 begins by saying they had just recently come from Rome to Corinth. So they're now in Corinth. And then we talked about how Paul took them with him when he went to Ephesus. So Acts 18 and 19 tells us they were in Ephesus. Then a couple of years later, Paul writes a letter to the church in Rome, and that's when he sends those greetings to Aquila and Priscilla. So apparently at that time, they're back in Rome. And then finally, 10 or 12 years after that, Paul is writing to Timothy, who was the pastor at Ephesus, and in that letter, again, he sends greetings to Priscilla and Aquila. So apparently they were at that time back in Ephesus. So Rome to Corinth to Ephesus to Rome, back to Ephesus, and presumably much of that movement around was just because this is where God wanted them to go. This is where Paul had instructed them to go, where they could be most useful in the cause of Christ. Let's look at that. This is just for completeness, so I can say that we've read every text that talks about them. 2 Timothy 4:19. This is the greetings Paul sends at the end of 2 Timothy. He says, salute Prissa, just a shortened version of Priscilla. Salute Prissa and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. That's the guy we talked about last week. Okay? But here they are back in Ephesus. So Priscilla and Aquila's ministry was characterized by single-mindedness and hospitality and unselfish commitment. One more and we'll be finished. Their lives were examples of perseverance in ministry. Scripture documents at least 16 faithful years. We don't know what might have happened before this or after this, but again, using that same sequence, they started in Rome. Okay, we don't know when that was. But they got in Corinth when Paul's wrote that letter to the Corinthians there. They're in Corinth around AD 51 to 52. They're in Ephesus around AD 53 to 54 or 5. They're in Rome around AD 56. And then they're back in Ephesus when Paul writes the letter to the 2 Timothy in AD 67. So you've got something like 16 years, and throughout that time, who knows what more all they did that we don't have recorded for us in Scripture, but they're moving around, they're serving, they're sacrificing, they're opening their home for ministry, they're instructing people in the Word of God, they're helpers to Paul, they're doing whatever God wants them to do to be faithful servants. And they're doing it together. I've often thought that if I were to speak for a couple's retreat, this might be a good session to talk about a couple who really had a heart for God and a heart for ministry that drew them together and strengthened their relationship. Aquila and Priscilla were an amazing couple, to say the least. You know, and they really, in my mind, are heroes. I mean, in every sense of the word. Heroes who were devoted to each other. Heroes who were devoted to God's word. And devoted to ministry. And their life, their marriage, really gives us a portrait of devotion. And if you think about it, Aquila and Priscilla's devotion to God greatly enriched the lives and ministries of each other. I mean, they helped each other. They grew through this together. And they enriched the life of the Apostle Paul. They helped the eloquent and powerful preacher Apollos. And as Paul suggests, they had an impact and were worthy of the gratitude of all the churches of the Gentiles, all those different churches that Paul ministered with, that Paul planted, that Paul wrote to. And I trust that tonight they've had an impact on you too. And folks, we would do very well to follow their example. People who are just really addicted to ministry, focused on just devotedly serving the Lord, serving others, and doing so together as husband and wife. Father, we're thankful for this great example from the Word of God. We pray, Father, that for those of us who are married, that we would embrace the value of ministry together as husband and wife. And for all of us, whether single, married, widowed, young, old, the example of people who were just steadfastly devoted to ministry, people who gladly used their homes for ministry, people who were students of the Word of God and glad to talk about it and glad to share it. I pray that these and other aspects of their lives would be an example to us, would be a challenge to us, an encouragement to us. Might we be people that you might use to make a difference, as you did through the life and ministry of Aquila and Priscilla. I pray these things in Jesus' name.